We've got about another 40 minutes left in the show, and as promised, it's Friday. It's after 5 o'clock, and so we're going to be talking about beer for the rest of the hour. You know, now, people don't realize that wine country is also beer country. You know, I mean, in Sonoma County here, wine gets all of the press. We make some of the finest wines in the world. We have just acres and acres of grapes if you drive down the road. But you may not realize that we also produce some of the best beer in the world right here in Sonoma County. Now, if you had lived here in the past, you would have seen, instead of acres and acres of grapes, acres and acres of hop fields. Hop is one of the primary ingredients in beer. And as a matter of fact, if you think about it, we have a winery called Hop Kiln Winery, and there's a town just north of here called Hopland. Well, they got their names from the fact that this used to be a very large hop-growing region. Now, I am very happy today to have not only one of the best brewers in Sonoma County, but I have literally read, this is no faint praise, I have literally read that Vinnie Chirluzzo is one of the top brewers in the nation. And now I do chat with an awful lot of beer aficionados, and we are as bad as wine snobs, and they all hold the brews that Vinny makes in very high esteem. Vinny is the head brewer and owner of the Russian River Brewing Company right here in downtown Santa Rosa. Hi, Vinny. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Now, you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that there are actually a lot of parallels between winemaking and brewing. And people may not realize this. I mean, you know, to them, brewing beer comes from a factory. But it's a similar process.
Yeah, beer really is an agricultural product, and it does have some industrial production qualities, and that you really are trying to make the same product day in and day out to an extent. But we make some beers at our brewery where we're putting beer in wine barrels, which really takes it to a winemaking level where we are reusing wine barrels from wineries, but the basis of brewing, we're both fermenting products. In the case of a winemaker, he or she is taking the grapes and crushing them and fermenting that juice to get their fermentable their fermented product wine, and we're taking grain, malted barley and malted wheat, and extracting the sugar out of that grain, and then taking the sugars from there and fermenting them. So we're achieving the sugar from a different source, but in the end, they're both fermented products. So in that case, they're similar. The differences are that beer is much lower in alcohol, and so we really only rely on hops as a natural preservative in the beer, where winemakers have a higher alcohol content, they have a higher acidity level, and they also will use sulfites to preserve their product, their wine.
So, I mean, with wine, I mean, I know that you can have like a 400-year-old bottle of Lafite Rothschild and it's still drinkable. And apparently that's not the case with beer.
For the most part, it's not the case. But there is some beers that do age. And we make some ourselves. We have a friend in Delaware from the Dogfish Head Brewery, Sam mm-hmm. Galgione. He's a dear friend of my wife Natalie and I, and he and his wife, they own the Dogfish Head Brewery. They got a sample of a fermented product that was in King Midas's tomb, and they recreated this recipe, and they now make a beer called the Midas Touch. So there's a case where the product wasn't, you know, they weren't able to taste it, but it was great that they were able to recreate some sort of form of this old recipe from that period. But all in all, beer is really a product that should be consumed fresh, and it's very, very small amount of a beer that will age well. Mm-hmm. But like I said a second ago, we make several beers that we bottle that will age for 3, 4, 5 years and beyond, hopefully.
That's what I was saying, and if you think of beer as just only those things that you see women in bikinis selling on TV, then one of the things they keep selling is it's got to be fresh, and it's actually kind of a contradiction then. That there are some beers where it really over time their characteristics change, and that's desirable.
it is desirable in certain products. It absolutely is. And those are the beers that really, where the creativity for me can really flow on those beers, because we have to think, and this is a very a good similarity between brewing and winemaking, where we need to start thinking about, well, how is this beer going to taste a few years from now? 5 years ago, there was no such thing as a beer enthusiast who would age beer.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago. Now that we have consumers that will age these products and are buying them specifically to age them, they'll maybe buy a case of one of our bottle-conditioned Belgian-style beers or barrel-aged beers, drink one or two of them now, and then put them away just like a wine enthusiast would. It's exciting. I love seeing that. I love when these beer enthusiasts come into our pub and just want to talk about good beer and how it will age, and in some cases, we don't know.
Well, and actually, there's a brewer. It's a California brewer, but they're actually Southern California, called Stone Brewery, that has a series of beers they're coming out with, which is called Vertical Epic.
Absolutely.
Which, over a 12-year period, they're going to be producing 12 different beers, and the idea is to age them over that period of time and to observe how they change in their flavor over a 12-year period. So if you think that you have to drink beer within the first 3 months of it being brewed, that's true for some beer, but not for all beer.
Yeah. And really, the break is, you know, if you're pale ales, India pale ales, porters, those, you know, lagers, those beers you're gonna want to consume young. But Belgian beers, some barrel aged beers like we're doing at our pub, some mm-hmm. stouts will age for years.
Well, you know, we're going to cut away to the commercial. We're going to get the news, the traffic, the weather, and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, let's talk about different styles of beers. I mean, you just named a few, and I don't know that most of our listeners will know what those are. So when we come back, we're going to talk about styles of beers, and Vinny's going to break out the beer.
Sounds good.
So you're listening to George Bright on News Talk 1350 KSRO. Stick around. And welcome back. George Bright keeping Spencer's seat warm for the day. And it is Friday afternoon, 5:35. You are probably on the drive home, but I'm sitting here looking at bottles and bottles of beer, and so I could not be a happier man. Now, we were talking with Vinny Chirlerzo. I am terrible with names. Vinny. We'll just call you Vinny from now on. From the Russian River Brewery, which is on 4th Street in downtown Santa Rosa. And for those of you who don't know, Wine Country also produces some of the most well-respected beers in the country. And we have some very creative brewers around. And it is as much an artistic process as it is making wine. If all you know about beer is Budweiser or Budweiser Light, then you'll be surprised. There is a huge world out there. Now, one of the things that I was noticing is that the ingredients for beer are generally always the same. There's usually four ingredients on a beer bottle, and it's water, hops, yeast, and malt. And that's it. And so what I want to know is, how can we get all these different kinds of beer from just those four ingredients?
The one unique thing about brewing beer, and let's take pale ale for example, is that there's something like 35 or 40 varieties of hops out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could make an English pale ale using English hops and American using American hops and so on and so forth. Whereas making a Chardonnay, you're starting out with the Chardonnay grape. And a lot of the difference between one wine or Chardonnay to another is going to be determined on the vineyard
mm-hmm.
and where it's coming from. And then, you know, once you get into oak, if it's a light toast, medium toast, so on and so forth. And so with brewing, a lot of the differences come in picking different hop varieties. The barley, the malted barley to an extent, but a lot of times for what we're making, India pale ales, double IPAs, pale ales, the difference is going to come in the hop variety. So an India pale ale from Lagunitas to 3rd Street to Berry Public to us at Russian River to Moonlight, we're all using different varieties, so they're all going to taste slightly different. And that's mm-hmm. that's one of the fun things as a consumer that you can do is, you know, host your own beer tasting at home and focus on a style. you know, do an India Pale Ale and go grab a growler from, you know, Third Street or our brewery, you know, buy bottles.
And
you know,
now a growler is a large to-go container.
A growler is a pre-prohibition to-go bottle that holds 2 liters of beer, and they're filled off the taps, and in our case, it's good for about a week or so. It's a great way to get fresh beer, especially from the brew pub.
And since most of the beer that you make, you don't bottle and sell at the local 7-Eleven.
Correct.
A growler is the only way to take this beer home with you.
Absolutely, it is. And right now is one of the best times to be drinking craft beer. We're one of in the beer segment. It's really only it's the only segment that's growing. We grew something like 7% from where we were the year before, and it's just the quality of craft beer has gone up. And back, you know, in the 90s when there was a lot of entrepreneurs that got into the beer business thought that they could make a quick buck. Now we've had sort of a calling out, and we've got just quality beer being brewed, and the breweries that are in the business now are in it to make good beer, and they're moving forward based on that.
Now, you were talking about hops as being one of the primary characteristics in a beer, and you've poured out a beer for us, which is you're well known for. This is called Pliny the Elder.
Yes.
And it is a double IPA?
It's a double IPA. Back in 1994, my first brewery that I opened down in Southern California was called the Blind Pig.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got the equipment, we needed to test it out. And I had never brewed a commercial beer in my life. So we took the IPA recipe that I was going to make, and we doubled all the ingredients and all the hops in it, because hops are the natural preservative in beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that we created a new style called double IPA or Imperial IPA. And it's kind of weird that I'm recognized as being the godfather, or as all my brewing friends call me, the hop father, that created the style of beer. And now there's hundreds of double IPAs being made in America. But we're tasting, as George says, Pliny. We say Pliny. So yeah, it got convoluted somewhere along the way. But this is a double IPA. It's an 8% alcohol beer. It's got aromas of floral, citrus, pineapple, a little bit of peppery, and there's a pretty good bitter bite in the finish. And this is by no means a balanced beer. We want this beer to be all hops, and all hops. We want the aroma, the flavor. For God's sakes, we want you to be burping hops as well.
Well, and I am a huge fan of the hops. I mean, I am what people would describe as a hop head. And so for me, it can't be big enough. It can't be bitter enough. Now, I know when I first started drinking craft beer, I could not drink an IPA or Imperial Pale Ale or India Pale Ale because it was just too bitter. And now it's actually what I seek out. So it's obviously an acquired taste.
Yeah, we have this definition at the brewery that we call the lupulin threshold shift. Lupulin is the pollen inside the hops that you get the bitterness from. And so the lupulin threshold shift is the idea that you start out with a pilsner, and then you work up to a golden ale, and then a pale ale, and then eventually you need more and more hops, and you go to IPA, double IPA, and you just can't go back. It's kind of roughly based on the audible threshold shift, which is an idea of you go to a rock concert and you have ringing in your ears.
Loud noises as well.
Loud
noises,
yeah. And so that's what it's based on. But it's much like wine. You know, a person drinking wine, they may start out with White Zinfandel and then move up to a more respectable wine, and you know, Sauvignon Blanc,
right.
Chardonnay, and then into some reds, Pinot Noir, Merlot. And, you know, generally, the consumer doesn't go backwards. They're not going to go back. Once you've moved into craft beer or a more flavorful wine, you're typically going to stay at that level.
Right.
And I think that's why our industry is growing right now at a very positive pace.
Well, and this is more, I mean, one of the things, the next place I want to go with this, and I think we're cutting away to a commercial sometime soon. Gabe's nodding his head. When we come back, we're going to talk about beers which are actually more like wine. I mean, sitting in front of me are a couple of bottles which actually have corks in them. So this looks like a bottle of wine. So when we return, more beer with Vinny Curluzzo of the Russian River Brewing Company. You're listening to George Bright on News Talk 1350 KSRO. And welcome back to the show. George Bright sitting in for Spencer Hughes this week. I'll be in sitting in for Spencer Hughes on Monday as well. We are here with Vinny Trelerzo, who is the owner and head brewer at the Russian River Brewing Company on 4th Street in Santa Rosa. And something that you may not know if you are a local citizen of wine country is that we also produce some of the best beer around. We really are blessed. And so maybe I think there's just good yeast floating around everywhere. I mean, yeast is a common ingredient in both wine and beer. And actually, Vinny's brought a couple other beers with him, which are more wine-like in their nature.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And this one we're about to taste now is called Damnation. It's one of our most popular beers down at the Russian River Brewery. And it's interesting, you talked about, you know, jokingly, oh, it's the yeast floating around.
Mm-hmm.
This beer is bottled like a sparkling wine is or a champagne is, that we bottle it still or flat, and we've added a dosage of yeast and sugar to the bottling tank before we fill the bottles, mix it up, and then we fill the bottles with the flat beer that's got some fresh yeast and fresh sugar added. But the yeast that we use is a native Sonoma County wild yeast that started out in a vineyard years and years ago. And we chose that yeast specifically for two reasons. One, we thought it'd be really cool to have a little bit of Sonoma County in every bottle. And two, and more importantly for the flavor profile, that it could really withstand the warm temperatures that we re-ferment the beer at. And this re-fermentation is what gives the beer its carbonation. And this is a cork-finished bottle. It's got a sparkling wine champagne mushroom cork in it. And we apply it the same way. And it's one of our most unique aspects of what we do is that we do put corks in our beer instead of a bottle cap. And there's just something about a cork popping out. And let's see if we can...
Yeah, I say, this looks just like he's opening a bottle of champagne. There's a wire cage holding a cork down.
6.5 turns.
That sounds like champagne to me. And that's all natural carbonation that the yeast has created inside the bottle.
It's all natural. And what we've, like I just mentioned the process, and what this is a, it's a blonde ale that's 7%
mm-hmm.
alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very light in color. But basically, this beer looks like in color a golden ale or a 4 or 5% alcohol, lower alcohol beer. And that's kind of a part of the name Damnation. It's deceptive. And this beer is deceptively smooth. You can't taste the 7% alcohol. It's a Belgian style beer.
Mm-hmm.
And Belgian beer is what, and that's something that we specialize in at the brewery. What the difference is between, say, a traditional, American style craft beer, pale ale, IPA, that style, is that these beers are fermented with a really unique yeast that can ferment at much warmer temperatures, and then we're also adding sugars, which in most brewing cultures, adding sugar is the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But we really welcome it, and it gives the beer a very dry character. The Damnation is very fruity in the aroma. It's got some spice character to it. The fruit flavors are banana, pear, but it finishes very, very dry.
It does. This is actually a very drinkable beer, and it's very light-bodied. I mean,
it's very light-bodied for 7% alcohol, and we're on radio. Obviously, you can't see, but we're drinking out of a tulip glassware, which is also very important if you really want to get into be a beer geek like I am, where you have the right glass for every beer and every brewery. And in Belgium, every brewery has a glass of their own.
I see. Well, we're going to take yet another break, and we're going to check on the traffic. It's 5:52 here in Santa Rosa. When we come back, we have one more beer to try, and then we'll be hanging around for quite a while, finishing off all the rest of the beer. You're listening to George Bright on News Talk 1350 KSRO. And welcome back. George Bright in here for a couple more minutes with Vinny Trelerzo from the Russian River Brewing Company. Vinny has broken out the good stuff during the commercial. It's a bottle called Supplication. And I have to tell you, when I put my nose in this glass, to me it smells like champagne. This does not smell like beer at all.
A beer writer, Tom Daldorf from Hayward, California, has a Celebrator Beer News, which is a great beer rag. You can pick it up at our brewery. He wrote in this current issue that this beer will turn wine geeks into beer geeks. It's a brown ale that we've aged in Pinot Noir barrels from a great local winery called Copan Cellars. Wells Guthrie there was good enough to get me 10 Pinot Noir barrels. We aged this brown ale in those barrels for a year. We added sour cherries. And this is going to make every winemaker cringe that's listening. Mm. But we add Brettanomyces, which is a wild yeast. And then we go as far to add bacteria to this beer, which gives it a natural acidity. And it's just a fabulous, fabulous beer. It's one of the most food-friendly beers that we do. You can make reduction sauces out of this beer. It's an amazing beer.
You know, I cook with wine a lot, and I can easily see cooking with that. I mean, this is, if you haven't tried anything other than, you know, standard run-of-the-mill beer, you have to try one of these beers, because this is like drinking wine. This is not beer. Now, you know, interestingly, I was noticing that during the commercial, we have names here like Damnation and Supplication, and there seems to be kind of a pattern here.
Yeah, we have this thing with shun, names that end in shun. We do Redemption and Temptation and Erudition and Salvation, and it goes on and on and on. And we once did a beer night called 10 Shun Nights, where it was like 10 shuns at a bar down in San Francisco. And Pliny the Elder, which we tasted earlier, well, Pliny the Elder had a nephew who was Pliny the Younger, which mm-hmm. is our, Pliny the Elder's our double IPA, Pliny the Younger is our triple IPA. So we have a lot of fun with the marketing of it. My wife Natalie and I come up with all the names ourselves. We just hang around at the house, drink beer, and come up with names.
Oh, what a terrible life.
Our company is really kind of a grassroots, and we do everything ourselves, from the brewing to running the business. We have an amazing staff, and but that's one of the funnest parts, is coming up with the names.
The thing I find very interesting about these, and of course there are a lot of very good brewers here in Sonoma County, and make a point next time to go out and visit one instead of a winery, that, you know, there's a lot of artisanship in here. There's a lot of craftsmanship. This is not just brew a big tank of yellow bubbly stuff. Yeah. And the beer that you brought here today is just really surprising in the range of flavors that you get. It's just like the ranges that you'd find in wines.
Well, as our friends at Stone say, you know, these aren't fizzy yellow beers. And one of the cool things we do, I know we've got just a couple seconds, is we have the batch number on the back of every label of the bottled beers we do. And you can go to our website and read about the batches and see what one we brewed.
It's just like the years dating on wine.
Yeah, it is. And
great.
It's great like that.
Thank you very much. Vinny Terlerzo from the Russian River Brewing Company, very happy to have you. Thank you for bringing all this wonderful beer.
You're
listening to George Bright on News Talk 1350 KSRO, and I'll see you on Monday.